We're learning together Masechet Sanhedrin, Kaf Vav, Amud Aleph, 26a.
Halfway down?
Halfway down the page. We are in the story of Reish Lakish, who was traveling with Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon, and they were walking along during the Shemitah year. They saw people apparently breaking Shemitah. Reish Lakish took the view that he should identify the fact that these people appear to be breaking Torah. The first one he said is a Kohen who is plowing. Actually, it turns out that that's the second one. But the first one he saw, in fact, was the guy in the grape vineyard pruning his grapes. And he said, there's a Kohen pruning the grapes. And the Rav Shimon Rav Chiya said, no, maybe he's just taking the vine for netting for the Beit Abad, for the olive press. And then he saw someone plowing the field, and Reish Lakish said, wait a minute, isn't that a Kohen plowing the field? They said, no, maybe he's just an employee. He's allowed to be an employee for a non-Jew, or he could be working the land in order to pay the Arnon tax. And then either way, we don't have to say that the guy's doing something wrong. Top. Now
is this an Amharis Kohen?
Why?
If it was a Hever, they wouldn't be doing it because they knew all the halakhos.
So we're going to say now that the Kohanim were suspect of breaking the law, meaning they knew the law was there, and it wasn't by accident. It was the fact that they were transgressing. They were breaking the laws. The Gemara is going to say that right now. My Shna Kohen. Why in this story does Reish Lakish say it's a Kohen? What's the difference? Why specify a Kohen? Why not just say, isn't that somebody breaking the laws of Shemitah? Why say a Kohen? Gemara answers, Mishum de Chashide Ashviyat, because they are suspect in the laws of Shviyat. Like Kohanim are suspect in the laws of Shviyat. How do we know that? D'tanya. Because we learned in a Braita, not something different. But we're going to learn from the Braita why Kohanim are suspect. Seya Truma Shenafla Lemea Sein Shel Shviyat Ta'ale. Okay. If we have a Seya, a measure of Truma. What's Truma? Truma is the tithe that has to be eaten by a Kohen. Only by a Kohen. And if it falls into 100 seot of shviyat, doesn't necessarily have to be shviyat, it just happens to be shviyat in this context. We're going to see why it's shviyat, because it affects the rest of the brighter. But if it fell into normal produce, right? If it, the basic rule is, if one seah of truma, one amount, falls into 100 of the same amount, 100 amounts, one in, right? Meaning there's less than 100. It's now one part of 101, right? It has to be, it can't be one plus another 99, because it's less than 100, it's more than 100, right? So it's one plus another 100. So we've now got less than 100, so it's nullified, right? Different things are nullified in different amounts. Right, basic nullifications options are 1 in 100, 1 in 60 for milk and meat, and bittul barov. You can be cancelled in the majority in some cases. Bittul barov.
For example, in the kosher and non-kosher meat.
Kosher and non-kosher meat.
That it was exactly the same, so you couldn't tell. Right. You have two parts are kosher and one part's not.
Right. So bittul barov. So we have different types of cancelling of bittul, and this is one of them. So this one we're talking about truma. To cancel truma, you need 1 in 100. Some things can't be cancelled at all, right? Wine for avodah zara that was used for avodah zara that fell into a vat of 10,000 litres. Can't use it. Whole thing's nullified. Right? Some things don't get nullified. Some things do. Some things don't. Okay, so that would be nullified. Your fee. Pachon bikan, less than that, meaning if it was more truma, right? It was less than a hundredth. No, it was more than a hundredth, but he uses the word less than. Less than that, meaning if it fell into a mixture of less than a hundred, right? If it fell into a mixture of only 99 or of only 50, right? Less than that, yukavu. Yukavu means to rot. Should leave it to rot. You can't do anything about it. More than 100, enjoy. Perfectly fine. Don't have to worry about anything. Serve it to whoever you like. It's perfectly okay. Right, but less than that, you have to leave it to rot. Can't do anything with it.
So you can't sell it. You have no benefit at all.
Can't benefit from it at all. Well, so the Gemara is going to question that. Why you need to leave it to rot? Because usually you don't. Right? Because normally, if this happens, we're going to see this is a special case of Kohanim, but normally, if Truma fell into a mixture, so you want one part Truma and 10 parts non-Truma, so it's not a problem, it's now all just considered to be Truma. Right? You can give it all to the Kohen. But you have to leave it to rot. You prefer, or you have to do. Right. Right, it didn't get cancelled, so it means it's still truma, but there's another one truma. Truma is not a problematic thing, that you have to get rid of it. So why over here? So that's what the Gemara says. Why over here do we have to leave it to rot? The Havinam Ba, and we ask the question over here. Ama'ai Yikovu, why leave it to rot? Yim Karenu Le Kohen. He can sell it to a Kohen. Top, he's not a Kohen, so he can't have it. He separated his Truma, ready to give to the Kohen. And before he managed to give it to the Kohen, someone came over and said, what's this doing over here? And put it back in the pile. And I, now stuff, you just put it back and you've ruined my whole pile. I've separated my five apples for the Kohen. And I've got a whole box of apples. And my wife came along and said, what are these apples doing left over here? And she put them back in the box. You just, right, you can't just take the five out again unless you actually knew which ones they were. You marked them, but if you hadn't and you don't know which ones they are, so you're the whole thing's love, right? Whole thing's truma. So what do you do? So fine, I can't use it, but I'm going to take the whole thing and take it to the Kohen and sell it to him. Can do that. Sell it to a Kohen, why not? They're going to eat it. Find someone to buy it. It's good food, right? Yimkarula Kohen, sell it to a Kohen. But the main truma, at the price of truma, right? You're right, it's not going to fetch the same amount in the market as normal produce because there's a limited number of people who can eat it, right? So you're not going to get the market value. Market value of that barrel of apples might have been 100 shekels. So you say it to a current account and buy it for what? 60 shekels, 70 shekels. Right? You're not going to get full value because there's less people to want to buy it, right? It's just normal, right? Sell it in the aliyot, you get less on the current. There's only three guys to choose from, but when you've got the whole kehila, so the price goes up. So why not sell it at the demei truma, the truma price? Chutz mi demei oto seya, excluding the price of that seya. What's going on there? So when you sell this barrel full of 101 seyot, you're actually only allowed to sell 100. Because one of those sayers you had to give anyway for free. So you're not allowed to get 101 sayers worth and sell them. Because one of them you were giving away free. So you find a Kohen, you say, here's 101 sayers, give me a price for 100. One of them is yours anyway. I don't know which one, it's in here somewhere, but that's yours anyway. But the other 100, you want to buy from me.
Seah or something?
Seah. Seah.
But it's a some measurement.
It's a measurement. How much is a seah? I don't know. It says in the back somewhere here, usually. Seah. Say, six cab. I'm not being chased around. Six cab, and how much is six cab? And it says, you have to go around the world. It's six cab.
Shisha kabim.
Shisha kabim. It's six cab, and then you have to look at what's six cab, and then six cab. Anyway, it's probably about all 128x. It always comes down to that. The hard 128x, 26 times 6. We've done that some before.
How many liters is
26
that?
26 times 6. Yeah, 126. Yeah, six cav. Each cav is 26 eggs, and each and six cav is 126. So one seah is the volume of 126 eggs. Which, what was that? A gallon? I don't know. We've been all through this.
I think the Gemara says that 10 kavim shel dibur
Was given to the world, and nine were taken to women.
Yeah.
For good reasons, right?
Well, we
talk about football. What question we haven't got? Anyway, Tov. So that's the question. The Gemara's got a question. Well, why is this writer telling me that if they fell in, you have to leave them to rot? Why isn't it saying sell them to a Kohen? That's a question of the Gemara on that brighter. And I'm going to answer it by showing that there helps also you. And the answer is, Ramah Rav Chiya, Mishmer Dola, Rav Chiya answered the question in the name of Dola. Zot omerit, that's to say, Nechshadu Kohanim Ashviyit. Kohanim are suspect on Shviyit. We don't sell it to a Kohen because it's Shviyat produce. It's 100 sayers of Shviyat produce. Right? And that's, and which is a lot, right? We said one sayer is 126 eggs. So it's 1,260 eggs worth volume. I don't know how much that is, but you can imagine. It's more produce than this sayer, this Kohen can eat by itself. He's going to have to start selling it or dealing with it or whatever, right? Or he's sorely tempted to, because he's now got 100,000 eggs worth of produce. He's going to, right? So he suspect, we don't sell it to the Kohen. In this case, you wouldn't sell it to a Kohen, because the Kohen, we suspect he's gonna be tempted to actually sell stuff, because it's Shviyat. And therefore, we learn from that brighter that Kohanim are suspect in Shviyat. And therefore, that's why Reish Lakish said when he was in the field, isn't that guy a Kohen?
There's an additional one in footnote 22 that they'd be holding it longer than it should.
Ah, okay. Or he might hold it longer than he should. Right. We said the second rule of Shviyat is that you're allowed to take as much as you want into your house. Well, we now say three meals worth, but that's rabbinic. But you're allowed to take, apart from that rule, you're allowed to take as much as you want in your house. As long as by the time Zman HaBi'ur, or you take it out, make it hefka, whatever, you take it out of your house. But here, it's such a large amount. Even if he doesn't sell it, he's going to hold on to it. He's not going to throw it away. So again, that could be another reason why he would be suspect of breaking the Shviyat laws and not getting rid of it. Zman HaBi'ur, the time he needs to.
Why the Kohanim suspect about the Shmita that they will make with this?
That's a good question.
Something not
you're right, right. So this brighter shows that we have a halachic support for them being suspect. But we don't know why. It's a good question. Why?
The Gemara said so. The Gemara said that they suspected Satan Velo Piresh.
Without explaining.
This is Satan Velo Piresh.
No, it is Piresh. Well, you're right, it's not Piresh.
No explanation.
Let's see if Rashi has an explanation. Okay, let's have a look at the Rashi. Lefachot. Yimkuru lekohen. Nope. B'demei teruma. Fine. Nechshadu kohen. Okay, let's see that. Nechshadu kohenim. Halfway down the Rashi. Top. Let's see what it says. Ashot b'shviyit achaz man habiyor. They were suspect of keeping hold of the shviyit after the time of biyor. Not selling it, like we said in the like I said in the first case. Rashi says they were suspect of holding on to it. Demoru ba hetera mishum de ishtau truma ukodshe kushim the gabaihu bashviat nami kushat haaretzi. Demoru ba. I don't know what demoru ba means. Moraba Hayu Tera Shum de Ishtaru Truma. Maybe that they would keep hold of it, the extra, since they keep Truma and Kodesh Kodshim. And Shviyat is also Kedusha Haaretz. Maybe you could say that they would have got it wrong. Not deliberately. because they know that Shviat is Kedusha, and they and Kohanim regularly hold on to, maybe that's what he's saying, regularly hold on to Kedusha. They Kodesh Kodshim, they take the sacrifices, and they hold on to that. And they take the, what does he give here, the example? Truma also, which is holy, and they hold on to that. So here too, Kedushat Shviat is holy, so they may have thought that they could also hold on to it. Because they're used to holding on to Kedusha, whereas Am Yisrael, who don't have Kedusha in their house, know that this is, whenever they have something like Truma or something that they consecrate to the temple, Kodesh, they put it on the side, it's like, they don't use it, they don't do anything with it. But a Kohen is, oh, he's Kodesh in his house all the time. And he knows that the Shviat is Kodesh, so he's going to hold on to it, make a mistake, and not get rid of it out of his house. Maybe that's what he wants to say. But it's not a deliberate thing that they're suspect of deliberately breaking the law, but because there's room for them to make a mistake, because it's Kodesh, and they're used to holding on to Kodesh.
That's why my question about whether it's Amharic or a Heather.
Yeah, fair. So where they do it deliberately or not.
So how is it in Italian Shmita? So the owner cannot sell the product.
The what?
He cannot sell the
product. Yeah.
So he cannot give too much.
Who?
The owner to the Kohen.
Why?
Because he cannot sell it.
You don't need to sell it to give too much? To give the gift.
Huh? Because not belongs to him, the land in Shmita.
Nahon.
So he cannot give it to him.
Yeah, because not because of selling. But where? He can, yes, he can give truma on anything he's given. If I give you a gift, if I give you a present now, you can give truma on it. No?
Let's say he takes his portion for the day. Yeah? So he takes a piece of
truma. Rav Gedalia, thank you for walking in at the right time. I know you don't, it's tough on it. Okay. Truma. Does one still need to give truma during the Shviat? If you go to the vineyard and you gather for yourself a bushel of truma, my understanding is not the fact that I own it. Even if I'm a poor person, I don't know, maybe I'm not. If I collect produce or I'm giving it free as a gift, however I get it, and there's not been truma taken from it, I need to give truma, no? It's not reliant on the fact that... Because it's tether. It's produce that hasn't yet had its tithe taken.
I thought we don't do it, because we covered in Rav Yishai's
okay,
class.
Okay, so, unless... Right, well, because?
Because it's hefker.
And hefker, you don't need to take tether, you
right.
need to give tithe on.
But it's also cheese. There's no Maisa Ani, there's no Maisa Shani, right?
And
the only...
Right, Nahon, Nahon. And the Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet Hay, right.
That, that's
going
to help.
Okay.
The Kohen have no...
So the Kohen would collect the same as everyone else from the field. He would have to go and get in forage from the Hefka. Because he wouldn't get... okay, so he doesn't get in Shviat.
That's why I said this, that he's Chashud. Because he has no income, yeah. So he had to go. So he has
but if I get given, if I get given as a gift some produce from someone who's chiloni or whatever, and there's no tithe being taken, I have to take a tithe from that. It doesn't matter how I got it, that I bought it, or it's not just that.
No, we covered that. It's, if it's not.
But
it's not Shemitah, it's that
normal year,
you know,
yeah.
From Hutzwarts or like the Aaron's, then you have to take Truma.
No, in Hutzwarts. If you, for example, I'll give you an example. If you happen to go to, you're on a team, and you stop in a nice village, and you really fan your wife. Not you, you see, but your wife really fancies a juice, right? And you look around, there's no kosher shops, right? So, but there's a nice juice guy on the corner, and you can see his oranges and his pomegranates. You can go and take juice from him. He could be whoever he is. He's not got no two down the wall. Why? Because pomegranates are kosher, Baruch Hashem. So are oranges. Right? They don't need a tuda. Right? However, you don't know if the tithes have been taken. If you've taken maslot and trumot. You're not allowed to eat tevel that hasn't been taken. So what do you do? You pay your 10 shekels and he squeezes you out a nice cupful. And you take you take some off. And you get your art scroll sizzle and you say the words that it says in there in order to take tithe. And if you haven't got that, then there's an opinion which says that you could just say this is a tithe.
Okay.
But it's not ideal, yeah. But it's much better to say the thing. Because it hasn't been taken.
And Shmita is different.
The so, okay, so that could be different. So, if we're learning that Hesed is different.
Let's say go to Shmita and you buy orange juice.
Right.
It's very difficult. Because he don't know he keeps the Shmita there. So, he has open. Or when you, let's say you take.
No, don't do it on Shmita. Don't do it this year. So, right? If you're on a teal this year and your wife says, let's have some of this. Not today. Not today. Tough. Okay.
Because with this part, when you, I don't know what you do with this part.
You know, you have to. You wrap it in a. No, you wrap it in a bag and you put it in the bin.
Yeah.
Huh?
Before it's juiced.
Before it's.
So you take the juice out of it.
No, after when it's yours. When he hands it to you. Your obligation is what we learned yesterday, you're going to get lashes if you drink tevel without, right? So you're not allowed to drink it. Wasn't your obligation to take the tithe until it became yours? Now it's yours. You've got an obligation to take the tithe, and you've got an obligation not to eat it until you do take the tithe. So now it's mine, he hands it wasn't mine, he was sitting behind the counter in an orange. Now he's given me a cup full of juice. So now, tov, now it's mine, and I can now rectify it, send the sparks back to Shemayim in that tevel, and then drink the.
But how is it in our? The food's not from ours.
You don't. So you take 10% off. He might have got it from the Badat vineyard up the road, and it's already had tithes and whatever taken. So you've taken an extra tithe. You didn't do anything wrong. So you took 10% and you said this is a tithe. You were wrong.
No, say, okay, go to Arab Shmita. Now the land belongs to Ahmed. You drink by oranges, but maybe he stole the orange.
Yeah, but all of those things are beyond your control. Right? We know that there's problems they had in the States about non-kosher meat, but they didn't check properly. You don't know if he was really checking. You have to take them.
Oh, but he had once a field.
Top. Okay, let's continue a little bit in our Gemara Bezrat Hashem. Move forward. Okay, so that's how we learned that Kohanim weren't trusted, and maybe we can learn from the Rashi that it was the fact that they regularly hold on to Kedusha, which means that they may have got mistaken. However, that doesn't really help us then with our, because in our case, there was no holding on to Kedusha by mistake. In our case, they were planting the field. Right? So then we have to come back to the fact that it was deliberate. They were suspect, unfortunately. Top. Anyway, something to think about there. Amru, they said to him, we're back into our story, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon. They said to Reish Lakish, Truda hu Dain. This guy is argumentative. This guy who's with us, who wants to come and watch us intercalculate the lyrics. They knew Reish Lakish was a huge Talmid Chacham, otherwise they would have not let him join them. But they realized at this point, after the two incidents with these people who they wanted to judge fairly and who he wanted to judge by what he felt was in his lev, his heart, and doesn't look good to me. So they weren't happy. They weren't happy still, right? They didn't agree with him and say, you know what, you're right. They said, this guy's argumentative. Kimatu lahatam, when they came to that place, right, when they reached the place that they were going to, slika le'igra shalufa shalfua le'daga mitotea. It's a nice Aramaic, which means we are about two-thirds of the way down. about here. Which means that they pulled the ladder out from under him, right? They went up to the attic in order to do their calculations, right? Practically, we also saw this earlier on, that the calculations for the new moon and the new year were done in the attic, right? In the gag, Lamala.
On the roof?
In the roof extension, in the higher floors, practically and also spiritually. It doesn't matter. The Gemara doesn't need to come and tell me that they did it in the lounge, that they went to the study, that they happened to be in the room at the back when they were. It's telling me something else. They went up.
On the roof of the Twin Tower building.
They you can't. It's not something that you can do. You have to.
Gavua man, Gavua.
Hamayv in Yavin. Those who understand. Meaning that. You have to go to wherever they went to spiritually in order to do those calculations. It's not that they sat down there with a calculator. I went and
But the Rav said
new month.
The Rav said I'm Yavin.
Yeah.
So everybody can understand it in different way because now we pass Noach. Nachon.
Tov.
What they do? They was building a very tall tower because they wanted to. Together because it's both.
This is the same thing. They were the higher up.
On Migdal Babel, it's a very not.
Yeah, but for a different reason. Right?
Those
on the top floor of the penthouse suites want to be on the top because they want to be like God.
Okay.
And the people who are right, but they're all doing the same thing, but just depends on the Kavanah.
But here it's about stages. Here it's
going up or going up, you know. Raising myself up or raising.
It's ridiculous. Because you will climb to other tall heights, you will go to Kiddush Baruch Hu. It's low.
It works on both levels. We have the practical, the physical level, and we also have a spiritual level, right? So this is telling me on both. It didn't really matter. Maybe the fact that they went into the attic, I don't know if they did, but they probably did go to an attic. Why not? No reason why not. But also, it was indicative of the fact.
It's a technique to see the sun from some angle or something, but
it's not
physical. But together, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the pilot, they get into the Kodesh Baruch Hu because they're up from the cloud, or maybe the guy on the moon.
No, I think. Look, one instance. They only need to go to the attic. They don't have to build floors and floors and floors and get to a 20th floor. They have to remove themselves from the ground. So because that's it's only one flight up. We're talking. You're not connected to the physical now. You're now one flight up. Right, you've separated yourself in some manner.
I think that Moses in Babel was because they was united. This is why Hashem gave a different language. There was one language.
Okay.
Which very high level when we united. They say, what is a bad neighbor? What is a bad neighbor? Bad neighbor is going up from the synagogue to pray. This is a bad neighbor. So why? Okay. Because Amelisa is only when they the Yachad. You can bring the Gula when it's the Yachad. So there was the Yachad. There was all together. So they can reach a high level. You can.
Yeah.
About the building.
All right.
Physical building. They built something spiritual. High.
So they built the room for Elisha.
Nachon. It was also in the Gemara. So all of these, right? You see that they're all these in Kapilah. Or their spiritual heights as well. So, Gemara is working on a number of different levels. Okay, so what did they do? So they went up and they didn't let him follow. They took the ladder away, physically, spiritually, metaphorically, whatever they said to it. So they probably did both, or whatever, however you want to understand it. But that's what was going on. Right? So Reish Lakish, right, they didn't want Reish Lakish joining in. Shoot him away. Atala Kamer de Rav Yochanan. he came to Rabbi Yochanan. Right, we know that Rabbi Yochanan was Reish Lakish's chavruta, and Rabbi Yochanan was also the Gadol Ador at that time.
He was
and his father-in-law too.
Lost his power.
When? Not now.
After the next because before he was jumping.
Oh, he would have jumped up. Right. Top. He would have jumped up to the left. Shalom, Rabbi Elias. Top. Okay. So he comes to Rabbi Yochanan. He says to him, Amale, he says to him, B'nei Adam, ha-chashudim al-hashviyit, k'sherim la'aber shana. Tell me, Rabbi Yochanan, what do you think about this? Are people who are suspect of breaking shviyit able to calculate the year? So these holy Tanayim who went to him to calculate the year, well, they weren't the ones who were breaking shviyit.
They what?
They weren't the ones who were breaking shviyit.
Okay.
The ones that they saw in the field, right? But because they defended them, they are now, we learn from it a very deep thing. That people who defend people who are doing wrong are given the same, tainted with the same brush, so to speak. They're given the same. Right. We have right. It's not for nothing that we have. We've got a job, gentlemen, which is a job of B-roll. Right? And it's a big job. What's B-roll? B-roll is the entire purpose that we're here. The entire purpose. Everything falls into this. B-roll means clarification. We have to clarify good from bad. That's it. Right? The rest is commentary.
It's separate.
Separate and clarify. First of all, it's clarification. We can't separate, like physically. But what can we do? We can clarify it. This is good and this is not good. That's my entire job. Right? Adam HaRishon caused the fruit, and everything got mixed up. Up until that point, it was all separate. There was a snake, Yofi, he was evil. He was a snake. And everything else was good. And when we ate, we mixed it up. And our job for the last 5,000 odd years has been to fix that problem. To separate out good from evil. We can't separate it. We can't take this guy and shove him over there and that guy and then get one person and try and rip him half because half of him is good and half is evil. Right? So then we don't actually do the separating, but we do the clarification in our mind. We need to know what is right and what is not right. And that every time we do that, we are fixing the world. We are bringing the world closer to where it needs to be. Closer to its finish, closer to its tikkun, closer to Moshiach. And that's our job. It's every single person's job. Hashem gives each of us, we're all a spark of Adam Rishon. Every single one of us. We have a spark of Adam. We're all doing the job. Instead of one person doing it, we've been split up into millions and billions of people, and everyone's doing a little bit. I'm doing my job, and you're doing your job. And Hashem is giving each of us our own circle, our own to do in my circle, my family, my friends, my neighbors. I've got my job, and you've got yours in your community, in your family, in your. And you're going to see things that you see, and I'm going to see things that I see. But whoever we are in whatever situation, our job is to know this is correct and this is not correct. And when we see things, we have to know what we're looking at, which is why we're the teaching of Dan Adam Lechaschut is a very powerful teaching. It's a very important teaching. It's also a very potentially dangerous teaching, right? Because it leads to a lot of fudging of the issue and saying things are okay when they're not okay. The law of the Torah obligation to judge a person favorably is 100% correct with no faults, but it says judge the person, not the what he's doing. What he's doing is wrong. He may have wonderful reasons. He's wonderful. He shouldn't be punished. He should be praised for doing that. It's the best that he could ever do. He's doing even better than he should have been doing from where he came from. It's beautiful. Judging him, 100%. But the thing he's doing is completely wrong, and it's against Torah, and he shouldn't be doing it. I have to know what's right. I have to make a distinction between that. because otherwise our tzaddikis, it's okay. It's okay to break Shabbos. It's not okay to break Shabbos. It's not okay that my parents drive around in a car on Shabbos. That I should judge them? Chas v'shalom. Who knows where they came from, what they knew, what they know. They don't know what I know, and then whatever. Judge them. The fact that they're doing it, I have to be very clear in my head, it's not right. If I think it's okay and they're good people and they're doing good, and this is good, and the whole thing is blurred. I'm bringing the thing back into a tohu v'vohu. It's all not right. It's not acceptable. It's not correct. Hashem, please change it. Hashem, please, it should be that no Jew should be driving around on Shabbos. Should be. Right? Him himself, who the guy is, told that's not between him and Hashem, whether he needs to be rewarded or punished for right now. I don't know. Hashem knows what's going on inside him. I don't. But I know it's not right. This is not right.
Is this why, let's say, you invite your parents on Shabbat, you know they're 12, so this is inviting them. When they come from themselves,
yeah. No, there's different views on the one.
When you invite them, you know it's why
they come. There were different views. Some people allow it. There were reasons to be lenient. You should follow the different.
But different views. You invite them, you know it's why. So
doesn't matter. There were views that say they're going to drive anyway. It's not you that are doing it. Better that they drive to your house and come for Shabbat than they drive and go watch a movie. For example, I'm not giving a passage, I'm just saying people, there are people, rabbis, who will give you a on that line, and you can follow them because that's a kosher way of looking at it. Other people say no, better that they do, if they're going to break the laws, they break the laws, and it's not for you to tell. Each person finds where they want to hold on that.
If Chabad, I'd like to see you.
If Chas v'Shalom, there's a guy that his parents, Hashem Yishmereini, they killed 10 people.
Okay.
He ever legitimacy to judge them, to say that it's
no,
very
not. He's not a judge.
What?
He's not a judge.
He's not a judge.
Only
but
a
like,
judge
but,
can
but like to, it's horrible. It's like you guys were violated the Torah in the most horrible way.
No, I have to know that they violated the Torah in the most horrible way. But in terms of what, who they are, what they are, I don't know. Maybe that they were. I don't know whether he had any choice.
You can find many sanigori on them. Maybe I don't know what happened with them. Lomishane, they have. But what I want to say that it's the same Torah that said don't mechalel Shabbos. Because this is this is Ben Adam L'Makum.
So let me give you.
And to kill people, this is Ben Adam L'Chaverot.
So yeah. So look, let's say
like
Torah. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, right? Huge, gadol, right? Was famous for being find the good in everyone, right? The famous story: he finds a Jew and he's smoking on Shabbos, and he says to the guy, "Are you Jewish?" And he says, "Yes." You know it's Shabbos, and he says, "Yes." You know it's smoking; it's forbidden. He says, "Yes, I know that. I'm still doing it." And Hashem, your children, they're so truthful, they won't lie. Right? Beautiful. He finds the good. However, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, on this person, judges him, but then goes out and makes sure that no one else is smoking on Shabbos. He goes to the synagogue and says, "It's Asur, and I don't want to see it," and we stop, because he knows it's wrong. This guy, to judge him personally, favorably, actually, he's got a job to make a good case for him at Shemayim. But to know that it's forbidden and it's absolutely asur, and not to try and stop it 100%.
But maybe that act, what he did, reminded the guy that he's Jewish, as Shabbos, that he shouldn't be smoking.
Yeah, for sure, and he probably gave
and
him to the muster and told him, try to get it
eventually.
Back. Maybe, but yes, them odd, but to know that, to know what's wrong, a person who is... Right, a person who accepts the situation is complicit with it. It's one of the reasons no one can, and certainly not me, and certainly I don't know anyone that can give explanations for what went on in the Holocaust. Right, but one of the reasons why in the Holocaust people have questions and say, but yeah, there were very righteous people, they also died, is because they were, one of the reasons given is because they were also in that same place and they weren't standing in them. They're accepting the fact that Am Yisrael was going down the tubes, that there was the such, and they were there, and they're like Reish Lakish is saying now in the Gemara, they're given the same, they're saying, oh, no, let it be, it's not so bad, or whatever. I don't know that happened, and I don't know if that's a true explanation. However, it's a thought worth considering. We have a job to do. Our job as well is each of us is not to just look after ourselves. You're right. I found Torah. Hashem gave me a gift that he opened the light for me and he showed me that this is the right way. I have a duty to people who he hasn't yet shown that light to. Tov, is that the thing? We'll carry on tomorrow.
Okay.